really helping people think differently, stronger, better, and also thinking possibility, because the pandemic, I feel, gave us all permission to do stuff that no one ever thought we could do before. And there was no one that could really tell you you couldn't or you shouldn't, because all bets are off.
Welcome to Learning Life.
And the thing that I've realized, from the CEO to the NFL football player to the janitor, we're our toughest critics and we're hardest on ourselves.
But you have to be willing to say and point out the things that need to be said.
The only way to grab somebody's attention is with a story.
Welcome to Learning Life with John Toda. My guest today is Kimberly DeBruhl. Kimberly is a coach, speaker, author, and lifelong learner in personal and professional development. She's been a coach for almost 20 years and has earned the prestigious Professional Certified Coach designation from the International Coach Federation, and is a founding member of the John Maxwell team of coaches, speakers, and trainers. Kimberly is an expert in the professional development world I love so much, but she's also a local Vermont product, growing up in Springfield, Vermont, graduating from Champlain College, and settled in Shelburne today. So it's particularly fun to have her on the show with us. Kimberly, welcome to Learning Life.
Thank you, John. I love being called a Vermont product. That is the first time I've ever been called that, and I'm going to own it.
Well, you are a true Vermonter, and you would call a lot of us Flatlanders, I've learned now.
Yeah, but politically incorrect to say that now, but back in the day, yes.
Back in the day, yeah. So it's great to talk to you, and every time we get someone to come on the show who can really tell that story of growing up here and then really building your career and growing a business here in Vermont. So it's a great inspiration for our listeners. So tell us, I think probably the first thing to start with, what was it like growing up in Springfield, Vermont?
You know, it was pretty ideal. I think maybe mostly because I didn't know anything else, but it was a great place to grow up. It was community and safety and, you know, just so much good stuff. We had woods we played in, and my father worked for one of the machine tool shops, which was like the major Springfield area business back in those days. And my mother was a school teacher. So we just had, school-wise, it was just your idyllic kind of setting, just a great place to grow up.
And so you went to Champlain College, and just tell us a little bit about what Champlain College was like back when you went there and what you studied, because we've had a lot of Champlain College students on who are current students or recent graduates. So it's nice to check back into what Champlain College was a few decades ago.
Okay, so I have a big smile on my face. It was many decades ago. It was a two-year school. It was very small. You knew everybody at the school. And in my senior year, which is actually just your second year at school there, I was the vice president of the student senate. So I was highly involved there. And it was a two-year school, as you can imagine, didn't have all the fancy buildings that are there now. And even the professors and admin people were all your friends. Like you knew everybody, and it was an amazing environment to be in.
Oh, that's great. And it's funny to hear, because we hear all these stories about Champlain College today and we all know it so well, but it's kind of interesting to hear what it was like in the early days like that.
Well, and you asked me what my major was, and that is actually kind of a sore spot for me, because my major was fashion merchandising and retailing. And one of the most influential people in my life was Phyllis Emmons Black now, who just took me under her wing and just helped me to come into myself. Really, she recognized me and all the good things in me that I didn't even see. And many years ago, I was on the board at Champlain in an alumni position, and we had a vote to take away the fashion merchandising major from Champlain, and I was the only one who voted to keep it. So that was my setup for the rest of my life, was fashion merchandising and retailing, and it's not there anymore, but it was a great major.
Yeah, that's interesting. And so now tell us, so after graduation, did you stay in Vermont? I know you started your entrepreneurial career pretty soon while you were in college or right afterwards. Did you get right into real estate out of school, or did you do something else in between? And was it in Vermont?
Yeah, I was in retail for a brief time, working at Megrim's department store, which was way before your time, John, but some people listening will certainly remember. It was on the corner on Church Street, where Echo, the store Echo, is now. Okay. And it was a great, one of those old, amazing five-level department stores. And I was working there, and then I worked at Preston's Jewelry Store on Church Street. And while I was at Megrims, I was up in the housewares. I managed housewares. I was 19 years old. And the lady out at the desk, her husband was a real estate developer. And she said, you know, Kim, you should go into real estate because you could make $30,000 a year. And I was making like $7 an hour, maybe five back then, actually, now that I think about it. And it sounded really good to me. And I always had a lot of ambition. I wanted to live a great life and experience things. I was the girl in Springfield reading Vogue magazine from the grocery store and just dreaming and thinking of all the things in the world there were to experience. So that sounded good to me. And I went and studied and got my real estate license when I was 19. And it was all because she put that little spark in me. So I did do the retail jobs just until I got my real estate license and picked up a little steam there. So that was the start. Yeah, it was pretty soon after.
Very cool. And so tell us, did you end up leaving Vermont before you settled back here? Have you stayed building your business and your career here the whole time?
Yeah, I wanted to leave Vermont and go to New York City. That was my big dream. But then certain life circumstances that I won't go into today caused me to decide to stay. And that's why I ended up going into real estate. But my original big dream was to go be a buyer in the fashion industry in New York City. But I decided to stay. And I started to grow my real estate business. I had, again, some great people along the way that took me under their wing and helped me grow. And I just built my business at a time when no one I knew was buying or selling real estate. In fact, most of the people I knew were from Champlain and they all went to their various places back outside of the state of Vermont. So I started building a real estate career, really not knowing anybody and not really having any contacts, but again, just fortunate to run into amazing people along the way that helped me. And I hopefully became one of those people for other people along the way. I ended up selling real estate for 19 years. So that was a long time.
Wow. Yeah. Well, we lucked out. Vermont got to keep you here. And obviously you built a great career doing that. And so along the way, what got you into coaching? I know you're a lifelong learner. But when did you start coaching people? And was it kind of an offshoot of your career in the real estate industry? Tell us a little bit about that transition.
Yeah, well, first, I would say the real estate industry really got me tuned into personal development and personal growth. I kind of had liked that stuff already, but it had never been presented to me in the way that it was once I was in the real estate business. So that really interested me. How could I be my best and setting goals and these dreams that I had, like now I could see a way to get them. And so that just was really exciting for me. And I think somewhere along the way, I became passionate to help others do the same. So when I was 25 and feeling really burned out in the real estate business because I was working all the time, I went to Barnes & Noble and looked for a book, which is what I often do because I just love to read and I love books. And I had one of those, the book fell off the shelf experiences. And it was this book called Take Time for Your Life by Cheryl Richardson, which was just what I needed. Okay, I need to take time for my life because I'm working too much. But in it, she talked about, she was a coach. She was one of the first coaches that there ever was. She worked with the guy who created coaching. And I just saw that and something in it just really resonated with me. And I wrote down in my goals, I'm going to become a coach. I had no idea what it meant. I had no idea how it was going to happen. Wrote the goal, kind of, you know, put it off to the side. And then a couple years later, the real estate training company that trained me to grow my business and become successful came out with a coaching program. And I think I was the first person to sign up to have a coach. I thought, coaching, I know about this. I'm in, I want it. Where do I sign? And so I became a client of theirs as a coaching client. And then a couple years later, I became a coach for them. So that's kind of how it evolved. And I did coaching and selling real estate for about a year, both at the same time. And then I left the selling of real estate behind to go full on into coaching and not selling anymore.
Oh, that's very cool. And so tell us a little bit about the style of coaching you do, because obviously I have lots of friends and clients that we work with all the time. And some are coaches, trainers, consultants, and everyone's got kind of a different flavor. For our listeners, tell them what your main area of focus is and the types of people you work with.
Okay, yeah. So I work with people who want to have a great life, basically. Most of them are business people. So I do coach a lot of business still, but we pay attention to the whole life picture. One of the intakes that I do with people that everybody does, even though each person's coaching is completely customized to them, is this thing called the happiness in 8 areas of your life. And right from off the bat, we're getting clear about where are you at in all of these areas for the person who is coming to coaching and for me, because I like people to have action and movement and moving forward right from day one, and not for us to have to get to know each other 3 sessions in or whatever it is. Like, okay, now we can actually do something. I have found that this has been the best, and that comes from my training in power coaching with Mind Kinetics, was where I was introduced to the happiness. And theirs was happiness in 7 areas, and I added an extra area on. So there's a lot of clarity. So if people are looking for, you know, I just want to be more successful, I want to enjoy my business and my life more, then that's who I work with. And the people that I work with are willing to do the work. They're willing to be held accountable. They really are looking to change, and they're willing to go through the discomfort. But I, you know, I hold people accountable, but also in a kind way. So I don't let people off the hook, but I'm also not going to be a meanie.
And are you doing this with clients all over the country, or is it more locally? What's the business look like today?
Yeah, I have some people even in different parts of the world here and there too. But yes, all over the country. For a while, when I left the coaching job that I had for 7 years, and then I started my own business, when I worked for that company, I had one client from Vermont the entire over 7 years. But then I had more people from Vermont. I mean, I guess that's a good, interesting story to tell is 2008, when I left my coaching job, it was because a lot of life circumstances were happening. I had lost my father. My husband had lost his mother. We lost our beloved. We called him our first son, our dog Fido. And he was a border collie, so he was pretty much just like a person too. And they say things happen in threes. And I just thought, life's too short. I don't want to do this work anymore. I want to help people with more than just business, which is all I was allowed to do at that coaching job that I had. And I left, and then the stock market crashed in 2008. And nobody in Vermont really knew what coaching was at that point. And if they did, they were doing the same thing I was, which, oh, this is a luxury. I don't know. We should spend money right now. So I went on a one-person campaign around Vermont training everybody about what was coaching. I went to every event, every networking situation, and I just talked about coaching nonstop. So within a year, I had my business really up and running. But it was only by just really getting out there and talking about coaching and helping people see what a difference coaching can make, because coaching can help you. You know, if you're trying to do it on your own, you can do it. But I just have this strong belief after I hit 20 years as a coach in April. So I have some real good, strong beliefs backed up on real experience that you can do it faster with a coach. So I have people that just are really ready to take some leaps forward and make some changes in their life. Sometimes it's just about life, and then sometimes it's about business and life.
Yeah, I'm a huge advocate of coaches. I've always had coaches and mentors in my personal life and business. And I think a lot of people, like you said, a lot of people just don't understand what that role of a coach is and what it can mean to you. So I think educating people like you did is so important. And so if you think about these last couple of years, which has obviously been challenging for a lot of people, with the coaching clients you have, what have you been working on the most? What has been the most challenging or difficult thing people are dealing with over these last couple of years with all the changes?
I think it's mindset more than anything else. There, you know, every person has their own stuff, but at the foundation of it, it's been mindset. And even in my title, when I named myself way back when, I called myself a business, life, and mindset coach. But I always joke that I could just take away the business and life part, because it's all mindset and what you're thinking about. And the pandemic really threw everybody off, right? There was uncertainty, and it was all about thinking differently and more creatively and tapping into strengths. And that's the other piece that I really work with my clients on, is I use a strengths assessment that comes from the world of positive psychology. It's called the VIA, V-I-A, and helping people look at what are my strengths and how can I use them. That's kind of what we've really been working on the last couple of years a lot, is tapping into those strengths. And if people had taken that VIA before the pandemic, it's so funny, and myself included, a lot of them switched positions on the list and changed because during the pandemic, we started pulling on different strengths that we didn't have to use before, depending on our situation. So really helping people think differently, stronger, better, and also thinking possibility, because the pandemic, I feel, gave us all permission to do stuff that no one ever thought we could do before. And there was no one that could really tell you you couldn't or you shouldn't, because all bets are off. Like, yeah, anything is possible. So I kind of liked the energy of the pandemic, just because I believe in people and their potential. And I know I've seen what people can do. And it's amazing. So this was kind of like a little nudge for a lot of people to say, you know what, I'm ready to do something different. I want to change my life. I want to live differently. I want to design my week and my days and my years. And so that's what it's really been about. And mindset is at the root of all of that.
Well, yeah, that's great. And I think along those lines, something that was probably a result of the pandemic for you, you wrote the Successful Coaches Business Development and Planning Calendar. And I'd love to hear a little bit about that, what it's all about. Tell our listeners who it's for. Give us a little idea about that book. And I believe did it come out just this past November?
Yeah, that's the second edition. The first edition came out for 2021. And so we're getting ready to gear up for the third edition.
Nice.
And it just, you know, gets tweaked, as anybody who's written a book and reproduces the book, you know, like you find stuff that you want to do differently. And now, honestly, since I first wrote it, the pandemic was kind of fresher back then. And so now, you know, some of it's going to change for next year. But I wrote it, first of all, for myself, because I like to be consistent. I love setting goals. I like keeping track. I believe, as one of my favorite authors, Darren Hardy, said, you can't improve what you don't measure. And so the book helps you to measure your progress, to, you know, be able to look back and see what you've been doing, what are the results you're getting. It starts out with a plan for the year that you can keep referring back to, and questions that guide you at the end of each week. Because again, I learned this from Darren Hardy way back when. He's the author of The Compound Effect. I'll put that out there for anybody who's interested. But I learned to take time on Sunday and review the past week and think about what went well and what didn't go so well and those kinds of things. And then looking forward to, what am I going to do this week? And it prompts you on who you're supposed to be following up with. You'll never lose track of anybody or any idea or anything, because it's all in this one place in the book. And I help people with doing quarterly reviews and things like that. So the book is primarily for coaches, or that's who I wrote it for. Lots of entrepreneurs and business people are also using it, which it was a happy surprise for me. But most coaches don't think about working on their business. They're so busy working in their business. So this helps to get the steady momentum and flow of business going, and to take care of the financial stuff, which is something lots of people don't want to pay attention to, but it's part of the package and it's important. So I tried to address all of those things so that people could really just have this one stop. Like, I just have my book and I know everything about my business is in here. And they can grow a business when they use it consistently.
Oh, that's excellent. And I think you're right. It's helping people get out of that rut of just always working in your business and not on it. And so then it really can work for anybody, any entrepreneur, salesperson, anyone who's got a lot going on like that and needs to continually focus on developing the business, staying on track with what your goals are, accountability, right?
Yeah. Absolutely, for sure.
That's awesome. And so on the topic of books, I know you're a huge reader. And one of the things that you do quite a bit is recommending books to your followers. And I know you've got an interesting competition going on right now. Tell us about that.
Well, it's just because I love books and I hope other people will join me. But I send out a newsletter every Sunday. It always has book recommendations. And 2 years ago, so this is the third time for this, I started an annual reading contest. And I put out the books I'm reading in the summer. It's the annual summer reading. All somebody has to do is tell me what they read during the summer at the end of August. And I put everybody in a drawing and I send out their choice. I have two stacks of books. I have a fiction stack and I have a nonfiction stack, and they can pick a book from each stack. And I send those to them. So it's been really fun to hear from people, like what they're reading is really fun. And just to get engaged around that, because I really do feel reading has changed my life. It's really important. I encourage all of my clients to read. And so this is just my way of having fun with something that I love to do all the time.
I love it. I love it. And so I have to ask you for a couple book recommendations for me and our listeners. So maybe if you can, I hate to put you on the spot, but two fiction titles, two nonfiction.
Okay, so I have to tell you that everyone should read this book called The Laws of Human Nature, and don't kill me because it's 600 pages long, and I thought, I will never read this book, but I kept hearing from other authors that I really love, like Ryan Holiday. He said, everyone needs to read this book, and I actually have my 19-year-old son is reading this book, so you can too. You guys can read it. It's full of stories, so it's not like it's this boring thing, and I'm actually listening to it and reading the book too, so pick your way. But I think it's a really important book for all of us if you actually want to know more about yourself and know more about how others work so that you can actually experience more joy in life. So that one I think is important. And then the other one is this book called Happier.
Oh, yeah.
And it's Tal Ben-Shahir. He's a happiness expert. Again, that kind of comes from the field of positive psychology, which I love. And I think a lot of people have been served really well by that book. And I mentioned The Compound Effect, but we won't count that in my other two because I want to tell you about the fiction. So right now, I just, for some reason, I got on to Brené Brown kept talking about Louise Penny. And she writes these great little mystery books, most of them set like up around Montreal. She has like 15, and it's this one, Inspector Gamache. He's the main guy in every story. And so I started reading her series. So I read one, and I'm going to read the second one. And then there's a book that Louise Erdrich wrote that many of my friends have read that's also in my pile for the summer called The Sentence. That's what I'm reading this summer, amongst other ones, but those are the two I would throw out there.
Very cool. I like all your recommendations. I think Robert Greene is Laws of Human Nature, right?
Yes, Robert Greene. Yes. And he's written a lot of amazing books. Mastery is another one. Yep. I recommend. So if people like books and you like my newsletter that I send every Sunday, if you go to my website, I'll send it to you. And it's just a labor of love for me. I think it's pretty cool. I send you, some interesting information on a topic. And I always have a video in there about some thoughts. Sometimes I'm taking you on a walk because I walk all the time. And sometimes thoughts come to my head. And that's when I'll do a video. But there's always book recommendations, and there are always great quotes, and there is always a meditation, because I also recommend meditation to all of my clients. And I'd say that I think all of my clients meditate, and Insight Timer is my go-to, and they just have so many great ones. So I can always find one based on the theme that I'm sharing about. And so there's always that. So I kind of put together this little curated package of goodness every Sunday that a lot of people dive into and use that as kind of their curriculum for the week. So if anybody's interested in that.
I love it. I love it. And so for our listeners, because I think newsletters like yours are such a great resource for people, particularly because they're getting a little glimpse into your life, but at the same time getting a lot of recommendations and things like your book recommendations and all of that good stuff. So tell our listeners, if they want to sign up for your newsletter, where should they go to do that?
Okay, thank you. Yes, Kimberly, Kimberly Dubrule, Dubrule.com. And you just scroll down and you'll see, I think it says, let's stick together. And just put your email address in there and I will get you that newsletter every week.
Excellent. Excellent.
Thank you.
And your book, if our listeners want to find the book, can they get it through the website or do they go to Amazon? What do you recommend?
There's a link on my website and you can go to Amazon and get it, whichever direction you like to go in.
Awesome. And I have to recognize you for all your volunteer work around Vermont. It seems like you do a ton of good for the community. What are you most passionate about? What's kind of the most recent work that you've been doing? Because I know you've been on so many different boards and a part of so many different organizations. What are you most excited about in Vermont and what you're volunteering on right now?
Yeah, thank you for recognizing me. I have given lots of time in the past to many different places and I still love every one of them. And right now I am just supporting by, really promoting. There's the Bread and Butter Farm, which is in South Burlington. They've been trying to save and reconstruct an old historic barn. And so the way I've been really helping is promoting things like that. So that's an important thing to me. I just believe in, we need to save Vermont heritage, and so many barns in our area in particular have been taken down for developments or just left in disrepair and now they're gone. And that community is really important to me. So I invest a lot there just with being there and supporting them and buying lots of good food. And I also try to support the AALV, which some people may know about, the Association of Africans Living in Vermont. A good friend of ours, Jacob Beaugray, runs it, and they are doing so much good in our area. And I know I'm probably going to forget to say or talk about something, but those two are really important to me. And also there's one more, Sail Beyond Cancer, is really amazing nonprofit that takes cancer patients out for a sail on Lake Champlain in the midst of, you know, what they're dealing with, to just forget about it for a little while. And my friend Suzanne Johnson runs that, and just hearing the stories and seeing the pictures and videos of people having that time with their family out there, it just warms your heart. And they're actually having a big event this Thursday. So those are some things I'm supporting, but I'm not actually doing anything other than I am on the advisory board for the Stiller Women in Business at Champlain College right now. And that is something that I'm active in, and they'll have to kick me out if they want to get with me.
Well, you are, you're definitely an inspiration, because even when you're not doing anything, you're doing more than most people.
So. Well, thank you. Thank you for saying that. I appreciate that.
Thank you so much for taking time to come on the show. It's been really great to hear your story and share it with our audience. So thank you for being here.
I appreciate the opportunity. I love Vermont and Vermonters, and I appreciate you highlighting us. That's a high five if I could actually be with you.
Well, we'll do it when we get to meet in person.
Awesome. That sounds great, John. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kimberly. And to all of our listeners, thank you for being here each week. As you know, we have a new episode that comes out every week. So wherever you're listening, be sure to subscribe and leave us comments. We love to hear from you guys. And until our next episode, happy learning. Hey everyone, John Toda here. I want to thank you for tuning into the show each week. We love our Learning Life community and are so grateful for your support. We'd appreciate it if you would take a minute to rate us and write a review for Learning Life wherever you're listening right now. Your ratings and comments help new people find the show so we can keep growing our community and bringing great interviews on the topics you care most about.